Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
Maverick City Music, a Refiner, and it's exactly 11 minutes just after 1. You are listening to Heart to Heart with me, Sibongile Mofokeng, with you up until 3 o'clock, sitting in for Mpho Phuthini. And yes, family, I hope that you're also blessed by the music that we are playing for you. I hope it uplifts you. I hope it encourages you, strengthens you. I'm hoping for the best as we continue journeying on with you as Radio Pulpit. Remember, we are your daily companion. We are family. We practically family with you. So thank you so much for even in welcoming us into your space. And always, you know, we just come in and you are there, and you welcome us with warm hands, and we are grateful for that. We love you. We love you. We are because you are there. And I did say that we're talking suicide today with Dr. Malebo M, a psychologist. She's not only a psychologist, she's an apostle as well. She knows the Lord as Lord and Savior. She even went to school. She's a reverend. She went to school to study the Word, you know, to do theology. And so we are grateful to have her with us, and that she's talking not only from a doctor's perspective, but also looking at it holistically as we're talking, whatever that we discuss psychologically. And so we are honored to be talking to her this afternoon. Dr. Malebo, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks, and you?
You sound good. Okay. You sound good. You know, you sound like Friday, man. Hey, I love that.
No, it's Monday for me.
It's Monday for you. And Monday is one of the best days ever.
Yes.
You know, I was looking at your poster for today, and I was like, look at how jolly she looks, how happy she looks. God is so good. And I'm excited to be talking to you this afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
So we're talking about one subject that is like misunderstood. And we've seen the escalation of it during this COVID-19 season. We've seen a lot of people calling on the South African Depression and Anxiety Group and SIPLA and other platforms where they are able to can call and get counseling, that most people are feeling like taking their lives during this season. Maybe let us start there, because yes, it has been taboo to talk about suicide in the previous times when COVID-19 wasn't there. But it's becoming really disturbing, like really concerning, because of the rates of escalation thereof. What could be the causes during this time, during this season, that we are not seeing from outside? We might not be seeing what others are seeing who are going through this season with us. What would be the cause of people are feeling like taking their lives so much during the season of COVID-19?
I think we need to first start by helping our listeners understanding what do we mean by somebody being suicidal.
Mm.
Because then that will be able to break it down for us. What are the factors that leads one to want to
let's do that.
Suicide?
Mm.
Yes. So, for example, when emotional pain or feelings of hopelessness or relative inability to know how to cope with the life circumstances, like we've seen even with COVID, there's been many things that were happening. People were losing their jobs,
yeah.
People losing their income, losing their family members, most of all. If you have the inability to know how to cope with life circumstances, it becomes too much to bear.
Mm.
Individuals may find themselves consciously considering the possibility of ending their lives.
Sure.
So, and as a result, you know, suicidal thoughts can range from thoughts of, you know, you feel like I'm better off dead, or to actively thinking about and planning how one might kill oneself.
Hmm.
So people who feel this way, characteristically, if they have this feeling of being unable to find another means of coping with their life situation.
Mm.
So it means they are experiencing these constant life circumstances. They feel that they've explored solutions, but they seem not to be able to break through,
mm-hmm.
and thus experiencing a desperate need to bring an end to their difficulties or challenges.
Sure. Okay. Can we blame it to chemicals in the brain or not?
No, not really. Not really, because you can see, even from what I've been trying, the exposition that I've been trying to break down now, most of the factors that are there are related to the emotional, your psychological, your social functioning.
Okay.
Because all that come from, it's a holistic soul, you know. So, and mostly, it's more like saying there isn't a group that is not prone to suicidal risk. Unfortunately, suicidal attempts are not all that common and are most frequently associated with experiences of depression. We've spoken about depression previously on the radio,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, yes,
yes. So they are mostly associated with the experience of depression, because for one to come to the point where you want to end your life, you present a lot with symptoms of depression. So it cannot be attributed to say solely is because of the biological or chemical reactions in your brain. We've got a lot of predisposing factors which are psychosocial. Yes. So, like, for example, now I don't know if you want us to go through the factors, because I must say that before we go any further, that we've seen we've just received the recent death in South Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, you know, we've got 667 deaths by suicide every month, which is like 154 suicides per week, which comes down to 22 every day, meaning that almost every hour someone is committing suicide.
It means that most of us in South Africa are unable to cope with our life circumstances. Are not strong like others, because sometimes we who are outside fail to understand why would someone even think of taking their own life, but not understanding that our coping mechanisms are not the same.
Yeah, and you know, talking about us not being aware that and wondering why somebody's taking their life.
Yeah.
Before one attempts it, there are warning signs of suicide.
Yeah.
One does not just wake up and say they want to commit suicide. It's just that a failure on our part to have...
to read.
Functional interpersonal relations, being involved with people that we love, being involved with family members, being fully involved with our friends, we are unable to pick up these signs. For example... warning signs can range from, you know, constantly you hear somebody talking or joking about suicide, for example, and also with individuals who are depressed, because they tend to feel hopeless a lot and lose interest in doing anything, or maybe withdraw from friends and family. So they may also impress as down or sad. So that can also be a sign of suicide. Another one, also self-criticism.
Okay.
You know, we have people who are forever overly criticizing themselves. They believe, I cannot do better than this. I can't do anything right. I'm pathetic, you know? Somebody saying that, and they feel like they're not worthy to be loved, worthy to live, worthy to be appreciated. So we need to be, you know, to be wary of such things, and also changes in personality. You know, you know someone who is usually sociable.
Yeah.
And suddenly they may not want to go out anymore. They become negative, some even aggressive or irritable around people. And thus withdraw a lot from activities, you know, even from in a family. You need to notice that as a family, we mostly have dinner together. But suddenly there is one who just started a pattern. They are forever in their rooms, locked up. It's important that you keep checking on them. And also, look out for signs of loss of interest in appearance or hygiene. Most of them, they start neglecting themselves, not bathing, not dressing well. So just being aware of how they used to be and now. And some get involved in risk-taking behaviors. For example, they may start engaging in dangerous things like drinking and driving recklessly, and having unprotected sex or taking drugs as well. You know, as a way of coping, and excessive feelings of guilt, for example, and after every, you know, like, for example, if someone is depressed, they often feel guilty and they blame themselves. The moment you start blaming yourself, it becomes like more of an internalization process, which further inhibits you from coping. So suddenly you find that the person will say they are feeling better. But if an individual, for example, Swangile, has been severely depressed, hasn't been on any form of treatment, for example, and is suddenly back to normal, this could be a dangerous sign.
Because it's something
that they're not dealing with.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, does really depression cause suicide? Or do we have a person who can be just suicidal without even being depressed?
Symptoms that underlie suicidal ideation are depression symptoms. So that is why, you know, during our mental health month, we've been trying to bring awareness to say, when people experience these symptoms that are related to depression, seek help. Because, you know, in our society, it's more like when you say, go and see a psychologist, they tend to think you are mentally ill.
Mm.
That is not the case, you know, because your mental health comes first. It's of importance.
Mm.
So as a result, it is why we, in our previous talks, we've been encouraging our listeners to say, well, the moment you feel you're not coping with anything and it's causing distress in your life, go and consult, go for counseling to avoid the resurgence or the emergence of
getting
to that point where you get a diagnosis for depression. Because of the differences in how we cope, some are more likely to continue being depressed, some because they cannot even cope with the depression itself, then they have suicidal ideation.
Mm.
Then at the end of the day, we have those who plan and also execute. Because out of the stats that I've just given you, we found that from all these cases, 20 most of the time, it will be suicidal attempts. Because they're not saying, I want to kill myself, but they're saying,
I need help.
It's more like
a red flag.
It becomes a red flag most of the time. That is why I was saying that it is important that we check on the warning signs of suicide, because one does not immediately commit suicide like that. There have been those subtle signs that, you know, I'm losing it, I need help, you know, I'm risking, you know, changing behavior, like I've mentioned all those signs.
And now, during the COVID-19 season, who is more likely at risk? Or is it across board, all ages, all race, that we see coming forth with the calls to say, I got these thoughts, I feel like this?
You know, everybody at the moment, they're at risk of presenting
falling,
with depressive
yeah.
symptoms, which eventually predispose one to suicidal risk, depending on how people cope with situations.
Mm.
For example, socioeconomic context has been significant in bearing on the prevalence of suicide in South Africa. For example, those who've lost their jobs, for example, then there are many things that they are unable to do because their financial health has been impacted on.
Mm.
And as a result, even our youth, because of all these overwhelming changes that took place in their educational system, we've seen a lot of our youth committing suicide and being exposed to depression lately because of that instant change that had to be adapted. And, you know, adjustment process is a process. It's not an overnight thing. So the risk of suicide, it cuts, especially now talking about COVID-19, it has been cutting across all the genders, all the age groups as well.
Mm.
Like I said, that the working class, as well as our learners as well, they've been affected by COVID-19. And further, even those who've been unemployed, because it has brought a lot of anxiety to say, I've been unemployed for a long time, and now suddenly with COVID-19, a lot of people are losing their jobs. So their chances of getting employed as well.
Struggling to feed their families. Sure. And so we see everybody being affected in this regard. Now, how do we start about talks in our homes around this topic? Because I think if we are open, maybe I'm wrong. You will guide us. So you will let us know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think it would be easier for me to tell someone in my family if we are open about topics, if we do have, times where we talk about matters and we educate each other, we are informed. And so when I feel myself going deep into depression or even having these thoughts, I can open up. I don't know, but doctor, is it possible for families to can talk about these? How do we open up about such topics in our families?
Yeah, you know, this question you're asking, it brings us back again to the issues of family, building family resilience, and also trying to understand family dynamics, because we've got families that are disengaged from each other. of which, you know, they are more likely not to pick up or even understand or notice if somebody is going through a tough time. So hence, this with the COVID-19, this is a time that calls for us as families to even bond even more, you know, because, you know, we've been losing family members, and a lot of us, we've learned from loss of significant others that having a relationship with those close to you is of importance.
Mm.
So what I would say is that, you know, we've got the most significant precipitators of suicidal behavior, like we've mentioned issues of academic, as family members, we need to be aware of where each and every family member is at a certain point in life. For example, okay, those who are studying, for example, in the house. Be involved to check if there are any academic-related problems, like poor academic performance,
mm,
or academic failure or exclusion. And for those who are in relationship or marriages, be on the lookout for relationship difficulties, peer group difficulties like bullying, social isolation, mm, and a lack of social support as well. And also, for us as family members, we need to also be on the lookout for disrupted family environments. For example, those who are more exposed to domestic violence, or maybe one of the parents moving out, you know, or one of the parents divorcing, going through a divorce even during this time of COVID, or one of the parental figures decides to walk out of their relationship, a mother or a father is left to fend for the children, for example.
Mm.
You know, broken family relations as well as adverse parent-child interactions. For example, if you don't have good relations with your children, or there's a kind of trauma that they are exposed to, but you don't find a ground where you get to talk about it as a family,
mm,
because, you know, most of the families we've seen, even with COVID-19, that there's been a lot of high cases of gender-based violence that has,
yes,
been reported.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So it's also important that be on the lookout for those already in the family who've been diagnosed of mental health problems, because that can lead for them to easily want to commit suicide, like your bipolar mood disorders.
Mm.
Those are more prone to that. And I think we should also mention this, you know, we've got certain factors that can increase the risk that one would attempt or commit suicide,
mm,
you know.
Mm.
Like, for example, you just need to check if this person, if there's anyone that you know, you are close to, they've attempted suicide before, because those are the group that are identified as more likely to commit to attempt suicide again,
okay,
and this time they will make sure it's successful.
Sure.
You see. So also.
So what about before you proceed, Dr. Malib? What about the one who had just the thoughts before and conquered? Would they still feel like doing it again? They are more prone as well?
Yes. For example, you know, this is why I say you cannot separate suicide from symptoms of depression.
Yes.
So one might attempt and they recover from it. And the most important thing after that is to try and build resilience in them and establish functional coping strategies so that when they face future life challenges, they are able to, you know, to conquer in that regard. So most of the time, especially with suicide, we tend to want to deal with the issue on the surface. We don't want to go down and say, let's try and do some psychoeducation, for example, to equip the person on how to deal with life challenges in the future. Because it's all this dysfunctional coping mechanism that we adopt, that we tend to even try to apply them where there's no need. And as a result, as we don't get results, we get overwhelmed, and then hence we want to commit suicide.
Hmm. Mm. And so I believe that we have learned that more men, more boy children do not open up generally. You know, they don't want to talk about issues generally. They are closed up generally, and so because of how they've been brought up, because they've been told men don't cry, tigers don't cry, things like that. So mm-hmm. How do we encourage this gender during this time to open up, to come out? Because maybe with girls you can pick it up very quickly, but with young men, bottling things up, and men, how do we do that? What should we do? Your advice to us.
You know, Sibongile, I think with the generation that comes after us, like the children that you are raising at the moment, these are the children that are now in a different era. Mm-hmm. And I must say, to a greater extent, this is the generation that we are seeing that even at schools they get referrals to psychologists, which is a good thing. So the group that we seem most likely to be struggling with is our generation, because remember, we're coming from a traditional background whereby a man has to be strong. Mm. A man does not cry, you know? Mm. You don't take your dirty linens and put them on the wall for everyone to see. So it's more of in that particular population to do more of mental health awareness. That's what you need to do. And there is nothing wrong with breaking down. Mm. There is nothing wrong with being unable to handle certain things. Mm. No one is perfect, and it's not everything that you can be able to understand, especially when it comes to life circumstances, because I, as a person, might be over-involved with that. The moment I ask somebody out of the system, they are able to give me a broader picture, a broader understanding of the situation and how I can go about it. Mm. So it's more of mental health awareness in our generation to try and say, get a referral, go and see a psychologist. It doesn't mean you are mentally ill. Go and speak to somebody that you have confidence in, that information will remain confident with them, and you can freely express yourself and share your challenges and get an advice, you know, to facilitate the process of you transitioning from that life circumstances to a greater you, achieving your self-actualizing at the end of the day.
Alrighty then, let's take a break and come back to talk to Dr. Malebo M some more. And the lines are open to my family too. You can ask your questions on 012-334-1322. Share your comments and ask your questions. Alternatively, you can send us an SMS on 37871, which will cost you just 150. And you can also send us a WhatsApp or Telegram on 082-657-2729. We're coming back.
If you need prayer, please send your request to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za or WhatsApp 067-429-7564 or go to Radio Pulpit website on www.radiopulpit.co.za.
It's difficult to face the overwhelming pressures of life alone. Sometimes we just need someone to talk to, someone to listen to us. And what better way to do that than through a quick and easy WhatsApp text? Whether you're having a hard time coping with school, family issues, being bullied, depression, or anxiety, speak to someone who cares today. Send a WhatsApp message to 064-530-6805 or 074-995-9085. Our I Am Youth Counseling team, Charles Dudoy and Danny Vambili, are ready to connect with you today.
Give your faith wings. Explore life with 657 AM. 657 AM.